in a faraway world.
All people deserve to be free and equal.
The child is not fit to govern an empire.
The forces of darkness.
You can control dragons.
With a dragon army at my command, I can crush the Empress.
This has got to be some twisted magic experiment gone seriously wrong.
Have threatened to conquer a kingdom.
What can I do to stop Profion?
If you can obtain the Rod of Savril, you could control red dragons.
I suggest we lay low, let the whole thing blow over, come back, rob everybody.
There's one small problem.
Problem?
I kind of committed us to find it.
Let the blood rain from the sky!
Trust me.
I hate when you say that!
Don't touch that!
Kill them slowly.
You finish the maze, you win the prize.
They must complete this task alone.
You know, I love the way you track.
I'll get Marina, you get the map.
How you get the girl and I get a map? We gotta work out some new plans.
I want them found.
Do you really think you can steal my destiny?
Be careful.
You too.
Dragons.
You want to play, do you?
All right, I'm going to cast Eldritch Blast on our entire party to put us out of our misery from Dungeons & Dragons 2000.
What does that one do?
I don't know. Hey, look who's here, Tracy. You can explain. Yay! Look who's back. Yay!
Hi, everybody.
You're back for more Dungeons & Dragons talk on the path.
Yes. The last time I was here, we, Brett, you and I were talking about Dungeons & Dragons 2022, Honor Among Thieves.
Yes,
a very fun and enjoyable movie. Yes. And now you're like, hey, want to come back and watch the 2000 Dungeons & Dragons movie, which I had never watched. I knew it existed and I knew, you know, it wasn't exactly the best. So I never watched it until now. So
yeah,
yes.
This of course is part of our ongoing awful idea of letting listeners choose bad movies to watch. So before we play this audio, Tracy, go ahead and give us a little background about yourself, especially why you may be back for another Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Yes. Hello, everybody. I am Tracy. I go by Miss Magitech on the internet. I do a lot of TTRPG stuff on the internet. I run a channel called MagiRPG. I used to just stream myself. I streamed a lot of RPGs like The Witcher and Cyberpunk and Dragon Age. And then I started playing D&D with my friends and coworkers, and we decided to take it to streaming. And so I just changed my channel to just be all tabletop stuff. We play games 4 nights a week now. I don't play in all of them. Now it's become more of like a collaborative thing, which is really great. People can run different shows. And it's been a lot of fun. So that's really what I spend most of my time now doing, is just running a lot of D&D and TTRPG stuff. I'm happy to be back and talk with you guys about more D&D stuff and share my insight from a D&D perspective.
Am I right in saying that you also got to contribute some stories to a cyberpunk TTRPG?
I did, yes. I wrote for Cyberpunk Red, which is the official cyberpunk tabletop RPG from Artalsorian Games. Cyberpunk Red takes place in 2030. Oh my gosh, I can't remember now. It's prior to 2077. It's like 20 yeah. or so years prior to it. And I wrote for a couple of supplements that came out. And so I do tabletop writing now as well. I forgot I can now credit myself to say
that's so cool. I keep meaning to look at the cyberpunk stuff, but you know, so much, so busy, and it's like I want to get around to doing something like that because it looks so cool.
I gotta have you on, Lucy, for a cyberpunk I would love game that. At some point. Yeah, you would love it. So you definitely fun. Would.
Yeah.
What about me? Nah. Yeah. Like, I'm really, hey. Wait a minute.
Yes, you as well, Brett.
Okay. Well, now I don't want to. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I always I always get that itch whenever I watch something or even watching this movie and looking into things. And then, as always, at the end of the episode, we put the characters into classes. And so, yeah, Dungeons and Dragons is always one of those things that I just want to get into so much. But like Lucy said, it's like to get fully into it, mm-hmm. it takes a lot of time, but that's what's always good about having people on that are knowledgeable, such as yourself.
Yeah, it is a lot. And that's it's like a lot of hobbies. When you get in it, like you're in it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened to me. But it is nice. Like I always like we've all played together in The Witcher tabletop. And it's nice to have folks who like are into it and maybe just have them on if you want to play for like guest stuff and like one shots and one offs. That's always a good like start to get into it. So yes, I do recommend for folks who like want to get into more tabletop stuff. If you don't want to dive deep into like regular sessions, trying to find like little one-offs or one shots is always good as well.
All right. Well, make sure y'all check out all the links and the information below. But yes, we have Tracy on mainly for her insight into D&D, but why we chose this episode. Let's play the audio here from listener Eric into his insight, why he wanted to punish us this week.
I absolutely love this movie, but even I have to admit that some of the performances in this movie are a little bit overacted and a little bit phoned in. Some of the humor is definitely a little bit lowbrow, especially by today's standards. I love it. It's a 2000s Dungeons and Dragons film. I spent many hours watching it. Damodar is bae, but it's not everyone's cup of tea.
All right, so you said you spent many hours watching it. What a psychotic. That is psychotic behavior.
And interestingly, there's multiple D&D 2000s movies. Like this is the first one. There's three of them. So there was a sequel and a third one.
I saw that at the end where, because I was like, oh, there wasn't a sequel, but no, it wasn't. Like it was a direct because the guy that plays Damodar, Bruce Payne, I saw was credited in the second one. And oh my God, if this was a Hollywood production and it looked like this, what would the straight to video one look like? And I don't want to know. I actually don't want to know. We're not gonna do this. No.
We're never doing this again. Maybe I'll be on for the second one and the third one.
Any straight to DVD movies are banned. They had to have been theatrically released. So okay, there you go. Thanks again, Eric, for sending that in. We'll get to it. But first, of course, and with the guest on, we get to guest the gross, as I accidentally stated last week, but now is pertinable. What's that called? What word am I thinking?
Sure.
Pertinent. I don't know. Pertinent. There it is.
Pertinent. There you go.
There you go. Pertinent. Here is Lucy is going to guess the gross with Tracy as well here. So we get two guesses here. 2000, all right? It was made in 1999, so it's 20th century all the way back then. The original budget, the guy wanted, Courtney Solomon, director and producer, all of that fun stuff, wanted $100 million, but LOL, no. He got $45 million. So this budget, year 2000 release, $45 million. What do y'all think the worldwide gross was?
What we typically say, what's considered a success in budget and gross is it would need to double the budget to be considered a success. I have no idea with this one because I feel like there might have been a lot of hype in it. Like people might have been really excited for it. It was being made for a long time. It was in the works for at least a good few years before it got released. I don't know what my guess would be. I don't think it got 100. I don't think it got 100.
I would guess something probably a little under it. Maybe like, this is maybe being generous, like 80 million or something. Like that would be my guess because it is... It's got the name Dungeons and Dragons behind it, so maybe a lot of people saw it, but I don't know.
Lucy?
I'm curious as to how excited people were for the film, because obviously it's always had a big following, but it would have been, back in the day, like heavy bullying nerd territory at this time. I feel like if you're going to see the Dungeons and Dragons film, you're a nerd. I'm going to go like a 70.
Oh, okay. You sweet summer children. Let me pull up stool. Let me pull up a stool like Grandpa Simpson and tell you about the halcyon days of the Dungeons and Dragons was the most nerdy shit imaginable. There was no fucking hype for actually. This makes me want to stuff somebody in a locker after watching this movie and go back in the day. Yes, I was 16 years old when this came out. There was nothing for this. 33.8 million.
Oh my gosh.
Is that really that shocking after having seen it?
I didn't think it would go under budget.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
it is pretty shocking though to look at it lined up. Budget 45, box office 33.8. But yeah, again, you're right. This is in development hell forever, which is always a bad sign. Like, it's never really good that happens. Why I don't want a Metal Gear Solid movie to kind of ever come out, because more than likely it's been cursed, kind of like the Uncharted movie. It's like, it's not going to be good. They're not spending their time making it good. It's just, it's not ever worthy to throw out. But yet, no.
Yeah.
I would say, though, that's the biggest difference is, like with Baldur's Gate 3, it's, I will tell some people that I'll play it and some will be like, oh, okay. But there's no resounding like a Dungeons and Dragons, you nerd, or something like that. Mm-hmm. In the year 2000, if you played Dungeons and Dragons, you were an out and out nerd dork. And that's not a shot. I wish I was into it back then. I wasn't, but I wish I was. Same. But back then, no, you were. This was just persona non grata.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. And it is definitely, it's more normalized to be a nerd now. Thanks to even like big movies like the Marvel films and stuff. Like
Stranger
that
Things
gotten...
was a big thing for D&D also.
Agree. Yeah, 100%.
It's all thanks to Henry Cavill, right?
Yeah. You know, right? He's the cool nerd, you know.
Oh, is he? I haven't heard it. Okay, no,
He loves Warhammer.
I'm not getting into this.
Don't get me started.
I'm not getting drawn offside. Okay, all right. So Lucy, let's go to the tomato motto.
Yes, let's go to the tomato meter. So we have the critics score, and we also have the audience score. So let me read you what the critics say about this film first. So critics say this movie has a cheap look and is badly directed. Despite the presence of talented actors, the performances are really bad. And additionally, some people are offended at Marlon Wayans' character, calling it a racist throwback to black stereotypes.
Yeah.
The score is like a percentage score, so it can be 1 to 100.
Okay, so this is where I mentioned this before. I think actually before you got on, Trace, I don't know if you were there, that Catwoman... that is our Patreon movie of the month, set the new bar for our show because it was single digits by the critics. And so now
it was wasn't it?
It was 8%. So now that is my bar for, is this movie worse than Catwoman or is it better than Catwoman by the critics? And so I want to go into the single digits, but I just don't think I can, but it's got to be stupid low. So I'm going to say, I've been dancing around it so much. I'm going to say 12% by the critics.
Okay, Tracy, any ideas?
I'm going to say 18, go a little bit higher, because usually when I look at the scores and they're a bad movie, I remember it be usually around like the teens. So I'm going to say 18.
And see, that's where, because I was thinking, oh, Jeremy Irons' performance would have been entertaining enough in a way that like Halle Berry was actually trying, but it was still 8. So now I want to go it lower, but I'm not going to do it. I'm standing pat.
The critics scored this a big green splat, first of all, and it so nearly knocked Catwoman off the top or bottom
spot.
Don't
say nine.
At 9%?
Oh my gosh.
I was going to.
Okay.
I was going to go into the single.
Damn.
God damn it. 9 though. Yeah. So now we've watched an 8 and a 9 in a 6-day span because we're recording this. That's Okay. Let's go to the audience now.
Okay. So audience tends, not always as we've experienced in the last few weeks, I can't remember which one flipped it, but the audience does tend to be a little bit higher.
Okay. And with that, but again, this might be one of those people who actually like Dungeons and Dragons would drag it in the way like Percy Jackson. We talked about that one.
Yeah.
This is still just an abysmal made for TV ass movie. So I'm going to say 28.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm going to stick in the teens and I think I'll do like 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going lower than the critics. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Which that was a mistake. The critics
upset the nerds.
Yeah.
So the audience rated this. This was over 25,000 ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's a spilled popcorn, obviously, and it's 20%.
Oh, hey, wow. Split the difference right there. Okay.
Yeah.
20, my God. Okay, but this is still both better than Catwoman. But
yes.
Wow.
As y'all can imagine, this was what they call a stinker. All right. All right, so there's not much that the director did, Courtney Solomon, but I did see where, and to talk about the differences in IPs, especially in fantasy IPs or what you would call nerd IPs from then to now, this Joker was 19 years old when he pitched this to this Toronto-based movie studio or something. It took 18 months for them to get with, I assume it was Wizards at the time or whoever owned like the D&D IP, and he got like sole control over this movie. Like, well, when I say sole, I mean the studio with him in charge of it, over the Dungeons and Dragons IP at the age of like fucking 20.
Yeah. Wow. I thought that was insane as well.
Insane. And
I can't imagine. Yeah. At 20.
Yeah. This. And so it took years to get done. He directed one other movie. I didn't really look at it. I couldn't remember. Some kind of haunting or something after that. And The Sense is pretty much not done much after that. The writers of the movie, who may not be real because their names aren't blue in Wikipedia, so who could know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, are they even worth mentioning their names because they're not in there? So I guess this was a one and done, or it was other people who wrote it, and this is their I can't remember the name people used to use, the nom de guerre.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember that. You can't do it anymore. You could just throw that in there, and everyone did that, but you can't do it. So all right. Well, with that out of the way, are you ready to get into back in the year 2000?
Yeah.
So ready.
Okay. Well, the first thing I noticed was the New Line Cinema at the beginning.
Yeah.
Can y'all think of another maybe fantasy movies being made at this time by New Line Cinema?
I think.
I think so.
Which one?
Was it The Mummy?
No.
Or no.
Was it Lord of the Rings?
It was Lord of the fucking Rings. Lord of the
Rings. And that literally came out like a year or two later.
It came out in 2001. But
a year later,
what's wild though is this movie was shot in 99 and it came out in 2000, and Lord of the Rings was in pre-production in like 97 and started filming in 99. So when this movie was released, I think while it was being released, they're still filming like Lord of the Rings. And so New Line Cinema has to look at this and be like, hey, we just did a fantasy movie, a high fantasy movie. It was fucking dreck. And everybody hated it. How scared were those executives when this movie fucking bombed?
Wow.
I feel like they must have known. They must have been able to see early shots in the film. Just this is miles above. Yeah. It's miles above anything like this.
I wouldn't have guessed it was from 2000 because it does look like an 80s movie, honestly.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was when I was thinking about the movie, for some reason, my brain thought it was like an 80s, like maybe late 80s movie. But no, this is like 2000. It doesn't give the same vibes of the action adventure fantasy movies. Because again, I keep thinking of The Mummy because I was like, oh, like that also came out. Yeah, right around that time. And that, you know, obviously was a huge success.
And a great movie. Like I would go to the mat for that. People are like, oh, that's a good bad movie. No, that's an awesome movie.
No, I agree. I think it's a good movie.
I will say though, they do have the same type of, I guess. Well, this looks like the 80s or 90s is because they're using the same CGI technology from the 80s and 90s. Because
film just uses it way too much.
Oh my God.
The Mummy doesn't have as much of it. So it's not as obvious.
Yeah, but the cities, I remember from The Mummy, the actual Mummy I thought looked okay in there. And see, this is what we tend to do, Trace. We tend to pivot to a movie that we actually want to talk about, a good movie, but not talk about this. It's called procrastination. But no, the CGI in this, I think that's definitely it. The fact that it was practical effects, largely in Lord of the Rings. They knew Peter Jackson was an actual director, not a first-timer of it. This guy would have been in like his his mid-20s by the time he did it. But again, it's $45 million was thrown to it. Jeremy Irons, what I would have guessed, maybe this kind of knocked off his A-list status, was thrown to it. As we trudge along here, it took 47 seconds before the word slave was mentioned. And I'm like, okay, do we really need to already get into this? Oh, yeah, we did Phantom Menace. That's right. We talked about it. There's a lot of Star Wars, I think, references or similarities.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Did y'all pick up on? Yeah, oh, Padme's a given. Like,
oh, yeah.
the young naive empress. And again, yeah. as weird as it is, when every time I hear slave in something like this, I think of Phantom Menace and I think of all the slave talk yep. with Anakin.
Just like right off the bat, like the world building. If you're wondering if that has any relation to like official Dungeons and Dragons stuff, I don't think, no. I was like this, I think this is just like they made up their own like world for this.
Yes.
It was not anything. I was like the world, I forget what the name of the world is and stuff.
I think it's Izmir, isn't it?
Izmir,
and there's some hill or some like the towers, then there's something like that.
The Rod of Savril.
The wall of Rod of Savril, but I thought where they went, the tower at the top was like called some hill or somehow I remember that. No, the school was so eloquently called Magic School.
Do you know what I'm really struggling with? I have to apologize to our UK audience because this movie is not available anywhere in the UK. We can't watch it on Amazon. We can't watch it on anything. Obviously, if you're like, you're a pirate, you probably have easier time. But I had to watch it on YouTube. Some saint has uploaded the full thing to YouTube in 360p, but obviously it has no subtitles and it's such bad quality that I'm like, I require subtitles. So I'm like, what is going on? What is going on? So I had to have Wikipedia up the whole time to make sure I had the right names for everything. Wow. So I'm struggling with that. Names of things is hard.
My subtitles were German translated.
Oh, nice.
So they wouldn't match up to what was being said. And then whenever somebody spoke in a different language, because whenever they have the regular subtitles on there, the normal subtitles don't come up. So that was in German. So I was like, am I missing anything here? But before I forget this, one of the funniest things I saw in the trivia or reading story about it was one of the deleted scenes, which, yeah, there's an extended director's cut of this. One of the deleted scenes apparently explained the plot of the movie.
I struggled with this a lot. Like I kept thinking.
Yes, I have that
halfway
later
through
on.
The film. I was like, "Wait, what is the main mission?
When we
what
get there,
go on here."
I've got it in my notes when we get there for y'all to summarize, to tell me what the plot of the movie is. So we'll stumble our way through there. But first, how about Jeremy Irons? I want to talk about Jeremy Irons. Can we please talk about Jeremy Irons? Okay,
the time of his life.
He's having the time of his life. Yes, mainly because, and I couldn't find anything that directly said he took this role because of it, but he had just purchased a castle in Ireland.
Yes, he did. That's right. I was reading about that. But yeah, I did read that he took this mainly for the large paycheck.
I mean, how could you not? I don't. Yeah. Well, hold up. I don't think it was the thrilling scripts.
No. He definitely was acting his little heart, like overacting his little heart out. And honestly, like, it was probably my favorite part the way he acted, like just his villain-esque-ness was just very good. And that's the one thing I really enjoyed.
I kind of wish everybody leaned into kind of over-the-top silliness of it all more and stop taking it so seriously and just be a little bit silly and lean into it and make it like intentionally silly rather than us laughing at them. We could have laughed with them.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
No, you're right. Because everyone was all over because Jeremy Irons, it's just up there going, give me this fire and root, like all of that. And then you have Marlon Wayans acting like he's in the Wayans Brothers, his TV show,
yes,
where he's a
scary movie.
There you go, which came out this year also, and Requiem for a Dream, which he was going back and forth filming between. So again, if you've seen Requiem for a Dream, you'll understand how insane that is to be flying back and forth from Prague and New York City to do Dungeons and Dragons in that. So you then have him out there talking about, yo, girl, well, I'm not going to do the voice. Whoa, almost got it in there. And then I get that. But you're talking about, yo, girl, you single and stuff like this, where he's this like modern day person. And then Bruce Payne, who plays Damador, is just saying everything like this, where there's no real like inflection in it. He's just drawing it out and graveling. And yes, if everybody just let loose and was batshit insane, it would have made this watchable.
I was going to say also, it was Damador. He's the one, the other. Was he the one with the, he's had the blue lipstick.
The blue, yes.
Yeah.
It was so
Why?
Villain. Like, you know, like sometimes in a lot of these fantasy, they make villains a little more. This is like villain coded where they have more of that, like, some sort of flamboyancy to them, which I like that. Like, I know some, like, there's some things you can like question about it. I personally like it, but I was like, man, they're really playing into this whole like flamboyant villain stereotype. But
they're always more camp. Like, yes, they have the very crazy camp outfits, very bright outfits. Like his Provian's first outfit with the red long sleeves. I thought, that's amazing.
I actually like it personally. I'm always more of a fan of villains than I am heroes. So yeah, but I just couldn't help but like, I'm always like, I'm like these, this blue lipstick on him.
I know. So. And there was some scenes where I noticed like it had like worn off and then you would get another angle and it's bright blue again. I was like, oh, they did a little touch up there.
See, I didn't notice it too much after a while because one, the back of his head and his ears were red or bloody.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah, this worm tentacle thing coming out, which, by the way, we always tend to bring up, like maybe last week, somebody had like a bee fetish or like a gigantism fetish. With this, someone's got a little tentacle thing going on, right? Courtney Solomon, you got a little tentacle.
It is a
tentacles?
Bit awkward. A bit uncomfortable to watch at some points.
Yeah. It was giving mind flare a little bit in that, like, but it obviously isn't, but it was just like, I was trying to figure out what it was. I was like, what is this thing that he's putting in his brain? Is it supposed to be a nod to mind flayers, but not? So it was very interesting.
All right. So then after this, we get to Ridley and snails. All right. Ridley really hates mages, and it kind of goes on with it, and it kept going on so much that I was just like, man, he really is he's like a little anti-mage there. And I have down, snails is in the wrong movie. Like, this is not the movie that it's like Marlon Wayans wandered in on the wrong set and just decided to do it. But I did see a note to where he got to improvise a line for every line from the script he actually read.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Which I think again was him being like, yeah, this shit is terrible. Let me have fun with it. And he's trying to do his fun, which I guess, which is weird because I know it, I saw it in another thing too, that it was brought up as like a racist caricature. And I guess you can just say racist caricature with a stereotype. And I'm just kind of curious because usually I can be hypersensitive to stuff like this. I didn't really get it other than he's screaming. Like, he's just an annoying sidekick caricature, I would say. He wasn't like going around asking for stuff to eat maybe or whatnot, you know? So did y'all feel that was the case?
I agree, because I saw on the Rotten Tomatoes thing when I was looking at it and I was like, okay, I'm gonna keep my eye out for that when I'm watching. But then when I was watching, I was like, yeah, I don't think there's anything. I mean, I might not be as privy to it as some other people, but I was expecting more racism. I was like bracing myself for like, oh God, this is going to be uncomfortable. But it was just kind of annoying comedic relief sidekick more, I thought.
Yeah, which I would say, yeah, I had a problem with. And it was also like he was just like, yeah, he was just the sidekick there to boost up the main white male white protagonist, and again, spoilers, he dies, and it's like of course they had to kill him. Like, that bothered
that
me so much.
I'm
like, please don't kill him, like save him before he dies, and he died, and I was just so annoyed by that.
I was shocked by that, actually. I didn't think they would actually go to that point.
Hey, but they kind of telegraphed it with them being all chill and him going away. Hey, snails, be careful. I was like, whoa, why? And then I'm good, man. And he gives his little laugh. I'm like, you just gave him a fucking death sentence.
No.
Yeah.
But to their credit, now this may be the only time, actually it will be the only time I give this movie credit. It is a D&D movie from 2000. Lord of the Rings had no non-white people in it through like three fucking movies that totaled like 17 hours in there. This had This had two, including a black woman, Norda, in there. So
favorite.
Yes, I'm not gonna lie. It's maybe more on me, and I'm, you know, telling on myself here. That was almost a jump scare, because when I saw him, I'm like, oh, they got a black person, that's good. Whoa, they have a black woman playing an elf in
an
fucking
elf,
2000. Like, that's pretty darn progressive for the time.
Yes, because like when they introduced the dwarf, I was like, this also is playing into some of the dwarf stereotypes. And this is pre-Gimli. That's what I was thinking, because I kept thinking of Lord of the Rings. And I think, well, in general, obviously dwarves have that, you know, some of the stereotypes people make. But like, I think seeing it on screen as Gimli definitely gives people of the future, like that kind of stereotype. But this is, again, pre-Gimli, but it was still kind of like,
like also kind of comedic relief. The whole like I hate this, the money hungry like kind of dwarf. He didn't have a heavy Scottish accent. I was waiting for that. But, you know, that So there was some of those dwarf fantasy dwarf stereotypes that were kind of in there as well. So
Maybe it's what made the movie bad, but maybe I'm going to give him more credit, but it's probably what made it bad. These are primarily like those, all the people that you talk, well, not Jeremy Irons, I guess. And I don't think, you know, Bruce Payne's not either, but the main people in here are Americans. And maybe that's also what made it even more jarring, is it's not just Marlon Wayans acting like what you would call a typical like Black American from the year 2000. It's just Justin Weiland playing Ridley is a regular American. And then we are bouncing beyond even more over, because that's what this movie does even more. But you talked, or we talked about, we haven't talked about, not Sabrina, that's Thora Birch. We'll get to her. Marina, the mage. Yeah, Marina. You talked about how Marlon Wayans exists to help the white guy.
Oh, boy, God.
How about Marina?
I'm so disappointed with her.
The female lead who's introduced as this kind of this little stuffy librarian. But what I got out of it was, oh, she probably is one of those. She's the assistant, but she really knows a lot. And she comes out and she holds them against their will. And then, oh, my God, I lost track at how many times she was just held captive. They should just call her Princess Peach.
Yeah. Oh my God, I literally wrote that on my notes as well. I was like, you're Princess Peach. And it's so annoying because when we first meet her, she gave me big Hermione Granger vibes. Like she was just so annoyed at these
Rachel
two
Rachel Weisz
dudes.
From The Mummy too.
Yes. And she was just, I was really excited to see how she kind of developed through the film. And she just got worse. Like she was so strong in the beginning. And then as she met these two thieves, she just got worse and worse and like kept getting captured. And then there was moments where I was like, Do something.
Yeah. Do something.
Like she didn't do
Ridley,
anything.
Ridley's being, you know, in a fight and she's just sitting there and I'm like, girl, I thought you were magic. I thought you could do shit. And she's just sat in the corner cowering and it was so frustrating.
Yeah, it honestly, it was. I was trying to figure out why she wasn't casting spells. I'm like, you're a mage, cast spells. I think, and maybe this is actually like, maybe the reason why, and I don't know if it's the credit to the movie or if it's just whatever, but I think she needed the components to cast the spell.
Yeah, she needs like whatever in that wee bag.
Yes. So I was like, oh, okay. That's maybe, you know, she was held captive, so she couldn't do anything. Now she has the components and can cast. So I was like, all right, I'll give her that. Like, but still like, it was way too damsel-y for me. I was pretty disappointed as well.
Okay. I don't know if we can actually just go through like what actually happens like in the movie, because we've done around it so much, but what the hell. So when everything comes up, whatever your mind bounces to, we'll kind of get to that. But yeah, I do think that was of everything that may have changed the most from like making a movie back then to now, is this is that not what's not a hero complex, the hero syndrome, whatever. It's the
hero's
special
journey.
Well, no, hero's journey is like the mainly thing. Special ones, chosen one. There you go. The chosen one thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
This is very much like we talked about the Star Wars shit. This guy's fucking basically Luke Skywalker. And she's kind of in that Princess Leia vibe, something in that, especially the first one where Leia doesn't really do anything. At least I can in A New Hope, that she doesn't really do anything. And so that's the biggest changes. I just could not imagine. I kept waiting for her. She's like, she's going to do something. Oh, she saved him when he got fucking stabbed, by the way.
Ooh.
Right above his heart through the shoulder. So that's right after Snails died. So when that happened, I was like, oh, shit. Is he going to die? Is this another Lord of the Rings thing? Is he going to have some mithril under there? No, this motherfucker just got stabbed right above his heart. Oh, he can just get away. He'll be fine.
I was like, why didn't you just finish him off there?
Because he had to do the talk and the speech because we're still stuck back in those days.
Yeah.
It felt weird to me that there was like he was a main character. It felt weird that all these other side characters didn't have more to do like at all.
They also like didn't explain like there was a part like where they went in and the elf and the dwarf character like stayed outside and the elf kept talking about these weird prophecies like it was meant for them to just go in and like there was like the wall barrier, it was just meant for you to go in. I'm like, what,
why?
what's the prophecy here? It really there was no, we're talking about this chosen one and like Ridley was the chosen one, but like for what?
Like, well,
what?
you're just gonna have to wait for the sequel because of at the ending. Okay, I had to get I had to get a new screen because last week I kicked in mine from B Movie and I threw it out the window. Okay, so this movie. While being far less infuriating, I made it all the way through. There were no ropes that I was tying. There was no reaching for the gun. There was no kicking in a screen until the fucking ending when the snails and the fucking ranger, Norda, your friend is waiting for you. The audacity of them. This is the most egregious sequel tease after a bad movie since the OG Super Mario Brothers with Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo. And as soon as that ended, I don't know if there was an end credit scene. I don't know what happened after this movie, because for the second time in about 5 days, my monitor was launched out my window at this fucking ending.
I was so annoyed at the ending because obviously the thing starts glowing. There's like a change in the weather or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, are we going to actually, is he going to come back to life? What is going to happen here? Are we going to get some answers? And he's about to ask like, what the fuck's going on? And the elven lady goes, don't ask questions. And I was like, no, do ask questions.
No, she says
I want to know the answer.
She says something worse. She says, do not question your gift. Your friend awaits. Yeah. What gift? Will you say something, Norda?
I want to know. Yeah, I have no words, honestly. I was in this. I'm in the same boat. Like, I just don't. I don't understand. And like honestly, I would have been fine if snails just came back, because in D&D, resurrection is totally a thing that's on the table. Like, you can
learn that in Baldur's Gate 3. Yeah.
Yes. You can party members back to life. And that's total. And I would have been totally fine with that. But no, we just get, they all turn into little sparkles and vanish.
No,
and
when the wind picked up, I was like, oh my God, Snails is about to walk up in here as a little force ghost or something in that sense. And can we talk about this gravestone of his, this great hero? You're burying him out back in the middle, like next to a tree, nothing around it, with like five stones and the word snails written on it in crayon. You fucking baby. Yeah.
And he's about to go and be knighted or something. And he's like, yeah, this'll do for you.
I'll be late for my own knighting. I was like, oh my God. Like,
did y'all see how many belts he was wearing? Was
that I liked his last outfit.
Wish he wore that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very Han Solo.
Hey, that's his level 10 rogue belt outfit. Yeah. He had three belts on. Is that like a sign of nobility in this world of a knight? You get knighted, you get your third belt.
Yeah. I did not get that. Though I will say, like, kind of jumping again back to the Empress, I forget her name.
Savrina.
I liked her outfits a lot. Like, it was giving Padme, like the eccentric kind of cool, like, outfits. I love when they do that with those kinds of characters. And so I was like, oh, she's got cool outfits, like, every scene.
There was that one character in The Witcher Blood Origin as well. What was she called? Merwin. She got awesome outfits. Amazing.
Loved
the
styling. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So her name is Savina. Savina, not Savrina. Of course. It's Savina. I loved her last outfit, the gold.
The
armor.
Dragon Rider one.
It was scale mail. And she had like the chain mail. I'm like, just give her a helmet. Give her a helmet. Cool. And she looked pretty badass.
Yep. Yeah. No. I thought it was really cool. I actually, like, again, if I had to like give praise to this, I think her character was cool. It's again the archetype. Like, she was in that room with a bunch of like old white men, like trying to plead her case. And like, I do like those kinds of like tropes in a way of like the one young female that they all underestimate. She's trying to fight for, you know, what's right. I do kind of like that. I'm a sucker for that. So I was enjoying those scenes.
I was going to say, I think you may have liked what you wanted or thought her character should be. She doesn't do anything, like you said. She shows up. Oh God, if I can find it real quick. Yeah, she shows up real quick and it's like says something. I think everybody should be free. Everybody, commoner and elf. And then she disappears for like 40 fucking minutes.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. I like the idea of her character and I'm with her. I stand behind everything she believes in. But the character herself was just quite boring. And this is the little girl that plays the little sister in Hocus Pocus. And she was badass. Do you remember her? She was so much fun.
Oh, wow.
And this character is just like, meh, but has so much potential.
Yeah, this came out after American Beauty. She had a starring role in American Beauty, which came out the year before, which won Best Picture, which I'm pretty sure Kevin Spacey won Best Actor for. And I also mentioned this on a previous show that Thora Birch was underage and had to get parents' permission for her to be topless on screen.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God.
Yeah. No, I think she was like probably 17 or something or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that movie.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a movie that you're not going to hear too much going in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little icky one in there, but she was kind of like a quote name coming out of this. But that was Empress Savina says everyone deserves to be equal, whether mage or commoner. And it just sounds like the CIA is going to be getting involved here in this little overthrow. I thought that was some CIA dragons coming in. All this commie talk here about everybody should be equal. And then Jeremy Irons being like, no.
They tried to have this greater political plot going
like
on.
Like Phantom
in the
Menace.
Movie.
Like fucking.
Yes.
You people, right. stop putting this political intrigue shit in your goddamn fantasy movies.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't really hitting the mark. But, you know, that is something I do see in some D&D campaigns. Like, a lot of times it isn't just adventuring, it's also like there's a greater political scheme. So I saw where they were going for with it. But yes, it obviously was not executed well.
Yeah, and this isn't being aimed at you, Tracy. This is not a mansplain. This is to the audience out there who may not know about D&D or something like that. But typically, one session in a D&D campaign will be double the length of this movie. So in the case of a campaign or something like that, you can do that. But in your hour and 47-minute movie, which I'm not complaining about, thank you.
Oh, that was good.
Thank
fine.
You, executives, for not doing the Courtney Solomon cut, for only making it go an hour and 47 minutes. Because I had down, what I put in our Discord, that the first
like 20
time.
20 minutes or
24
something.
24 minutes, I think. The first time I checked for how much time is left in this movie was 24 minutes into it.
That
never
might be a new
sign.
Record. I think Catwoman, I lasted 10 minutes, actually. And then I was like, fuck, I need to just go do something else. For
yes.
A
oh, my God. I think you said B-movie was 15. I think you said you had to stop at 15 minutes.
I don't know. My attention span's been pretty bad this week.
Yeah.
Lucy's honorary Gen Z. She can honorary Gen Z and be like, I got to take a break. It's 15 minutes. You have everything in front of you. No, I can't do it. I can't. You owe B-movie your full attention. But did y'all stop at any point through this movie? Did y'all go all the way through?
I had to stop at one moment, because at one point I was watching it on my laptop, and then I was like, I want to watch it on my TV to see if that'll make it look or sound any better. It didn't.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So you had to watch a bootlegged YouTube copy of
360p. 360p shouldn't be allowed anymore.
Probably a VHS, like, burn of it from, like, 2002 from this in there. My God. Okay. Eric, who requested this, I'm pretty sure that's Tier from Discord. You have to go into Discord and explain to us how you watch this numerous times.
Several times, yeah.
Like,
why?
It's not,
why are you
it's,
doing that?
Because it's not even like, okay, like I can get where B-movie can be infuriating and it's bad and you can just make fun of it and laugh. Catwoman is so bad, I can see where it's kind of good. This was so much of it was just kind of boring. And this is where I'm maybe in the minority on. Because I love Marlon Wayans, I'll be unapologetic for liking Marlon Wayans because of the Wayans brothers, the WB show from the 90s. Fucking love it. It's him and Sean Wayans. Scary Movie, all that. Go back into our little vault. We covered Scary Movie a few months ago. He brought, like you mentioned with Jeremy Irons, he brought an energy to it. Was it wildly out of place? Yes, but it had my attention. And if it was annoying, it was something for me to be kind of annoying at, which he kind of was. Like when he's walking around Damador's room looking for the map, and it was very clear that they just hit roll on the cameras and were like, okay, Marlon, you've earned like 2 hours of improv and vamping. Have at it. And he just goes around doing that, talking about black magic, which I didn't know if that was like a, is he saying that because he's black or is it like a pun? Is it a double entendre there? But him at least had my attention. And then when he exits the movie, first off, it does get a little bit too emotional because then Ridley has to like, and I do give him credit for this too. A lot of times in movies, when somebody dies, it's just like, oh my God, he's dead. Okay, let's go. We move on.
And they move on too quickly.
They move on until like the very end. At this point, they actually had a time stop down where he talks about it. And I'm like, this may be the third time I give this horrible movie credit. But it's like, it did actually seem to affect the main character.
Yes. Although he talks, then like later he has this conversation with Marina and like they're arguing about like, mages. And then like they get into a fight and then they kiss at the end.
I was like, so annoyed. I was like, this is not logical. What's happening here?
Okay. Multiple times had me like, not, oh my God, multiple times had me like cackling or howling. One was, that was one. Okay, well, I'll circle back to it. One was when they threw snails off the cliff. Like, they stabbed him. I was like, oh, shit, they did kill. Then he just tosses them off the cliff. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay,
we got like a slow-mo of him falling off.
And then they show him, like, dead on the ground. But, oh, my God, when Marina and Ridley are arguing and they're acting. I had that in my notes too. Here, it's like, okay, now it's time to act. And then they start, when they stop down, I'm like, man, I knew they were eventually going to get together because they all did, especially back then. But yes, they go from this like yelling, him saying like, you're a, like, it's fucking, let's just call it what it is. It's fucking mage racism. It's their equivalent of mage racism where he's are prejudiced because mage are in power and a racist power structure, blah, blah, blah. He's prejudiced against mages. She's just like, you fucking peon. No matter what you are, you're still a fucking commoner. Even though I think everyone should be equal too, you're still this fucking illiterate peasant piece of shit. And then it's just one of those like, yada, da, 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 da. And then they break and then they just start kissing like a fucking 80s sitcom.
Yeah, felt very forced in there for no reason.
And then the next scene, her outfit changes too. Like, her hair is down.
She's like, I'm a girly girl now.
Like, oh, you know, I had my scene with the main protagonist, so I can be a little more sexy.
Feminism has left the body. That's all a woman needs to cure it. She just needs a touch of a man. And then it's
And now her only purpose in the film is to just like push his story, give him a purpose, give him a reason, a prize as such.
I would say that's pretty much it from the beginning. After that first scene, once she lets them go, she exists. Okay, as much as she does and as much as Snails does, I think the most egregious example of it is Elwood the dwarf, because like he's hardly in the film. One, like Tracy stated, it's, well, we have to get him involved. Oh, gold. He wants the gold, you know, like that. Okay, I get it. He wants the gold. That's fine. But then at the end, when it comes down to it, okay, he's got to get paid. Why at the end is he still with them and puts his hand in the middle and that goes on? Because he hasn't really had a heart-to-heart with anybody. I don't think, and I could be wrong because my attention span is not fully there, I don't think anybody saves his life in some way or he does something to really get them in on that. He just exists there. And there was almost like, Lucy said, he said he disappears. I had a jump scare when he pops up. I'm like, oh, shit. He's still in this movie.
This is still like,
he exists solely to be in the party and help out for no character purpose at all.
I keep thinking of it like a D&D campaign. I'm like, this is just the friend that you have at the table that's like not really super involved in the story. They're just there and like they don't really have a place in this, but they're just there.
They're there for the combat.
Yeah, exactly. And to get the loot at the end. It's so interesting too. Like, D&D is always like, it's a collaborative game. Like, it's not a single player game. Like, you are not the hero, but this is clearly showing one guy, Ridley, he's the hero of the story. It's not about the party as a whole. And I will say, like, the newer Dungeons and Dragons movie, yes, Chris Pine's character is like the main character, but they do at least try to shine light on the other party members.
Everybody has an arc.
So, yes, exactly. But this one, no, nobody except Ridley has an arc.
Because Snails was simply, he's a fucking goblin. Like like a dragon in that sense. He just wanted that ruby. He wanted the loot in there, which they put on his grave. And I know they put it on his grave because it needed to happen to tease that sequel. But I'm like, You morons, you're putting a ruby the size of somebody's fist on these random rocks out in the middle of nowhere. That's going to be stolen immediately.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, it's a nice sentiment, but that'll be gone in about 10 minutes. Someone will have taken that.
Yeah.
Some troll is watching you from a distance in there. Okay. What else can we talk about in here? Norda. The Elven Ranger.
When she
showed up on screen and we first got a glimpse, well, actually not the first time because that was in the bar. When she was the Lady of the Wood, which I had is not Galadriel, the Lady of the Wood in there. Did something stick out to her or something stick out to you about her? Maybe what she was wearing? I don't know.
Was this her boob breastplate armor?
Holy shit.
Stomach and everything. It's carved out like entire woman's front. Yeah.
This was the time when I had to pause it because I was howling like a fucking wolf in my bedroom watching this because boob armor, they were fucking massive, perfectly round and pointed like fucking Madonna in the 80s.
Oh, it was bad. Like, there were honestly some of the costuming was really bad. Hers was pretty egregious, honestly.
Some was bad.
Yeah. All
of it.
Very generous. Yeah. I know I am. Oh my God. I shouldn't compare it to modern day, but like I've seen like LARP and like Ren Faire armor that is like way better than this. And it was so bad. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I think that's something more, not to take away from this movie, but I think more to compliment nowadays, because you're right, something that doesn't hold up, and it's going to be a lot of them, because this very much felt like a Xena or a Hercules from the 90s.
Yeah.
And like, you're right, like not even the professional like cosplayers that you'll see on Insta or anything like that, like regular people that we know and are in touch with will go to a Ren Faire and I'll look at what they're wearing and be like, holy shit, like that is almost modern day. Actually, I think it would be kind of like modern day movie quality. That back 20 fucking years ago is on, again, an upper level, which I guess you would say at this time would have been Lord of the Rings with double the budget of this movie.
That, like, there was one scene too where you see the back of Elwood walking with his axe, and that axe looked so fake.
Dude,
I was like,
that was so bad. That was so bad.
So
that was what I thought about a lot of things in this movie, is that it looked really cheap. Yeah. Like it just didn't look, nothing looked rich or well made or anything
Spirit
like that.
Spirit Halloween. It looked like Halloween costumes, honestly.
It really did. Yeah.
I was about to say, is Spirit Halloween the new Party City? Like people singing with the Party City to get that'd be it.
Yep.
So I think we actually said this before we started recording. And I saw it actually in an article I read about it too. So I'm sure a lot of people have it. This felt like the, at least in the States, a 90s made for TV movie. And the big one that always sticks out to me is The Odyssey, the one with Armando Sante from like 97 or 98. It was like a two-parter, so 4 hours total, two-part movie. That is what this felt like. Which again, if this would have been on a boring Saturday night back in 1999, I would have ate this shit. Well, actually, I wouldn't, because I was too cool for that shit, you know? Not this nerd shit. But I can see where people may have liked it, or it could have had a quote, you know, cult following or something like that. I just cannot get over that this was a Hollywood New Line Cinemas production.
Yeah.
Joel Silver was a main producer on this. One of the biggest fucking names ever, producing-wise.
Yep. Yes. When I saw it was New Line Cinema, and I love that you brought up, like, Lord of the Rings.
I thought I clicked on the wrong movie. I thought I clicked on the wrong thing. I'm like, this can't be New Line. Certainly not.
I know. Yeah.
I thought I got bamboozled by my site. All right. I don't think we're so all over here. We haven't really talked too much. I think we talked about every main character. Damador by Bruce Payne. We talked a little bit about him. But I'll just go ahead and posit this now, because we're definitely not be going through scene by scene. We're bouncing around like crazy. So, Lucy, I'm going to put you on the spot first, because I'll give Tracy a little bit more time to think about it. In 3 seconds, you got to start, okay? 3 seconds, you got to start explaining. So, give me 3 seconds to think about it.
Oh, my God.
Tell me the plot of this movie. Three, two,
got it.
One, go.
I want to preface this by
saying
I don't know the plot from watching the film. Okay. I only know it because I had to make notes.
Oh, that's okay, not
so
fair.
If I didn't have to make notes for a podcast, okay, I would not know the plot of this film.
You were looking at the Wikipedia, weren't you?
Well, I was just looking to make sure I knew the words. So if I wasn't sure of a word, I would look it up. Okay. Anyway, the Empress wants to have all people equal. That's her goal. Everyone's equal, mages and humans. And she's in power because she has a scepter. Make a note of that, because there's like several important artifacts in this film.
A scepter and a rod.
One scepter. Okay, so she has the scepter, which allows her to control the gold dragons. Okay, so yes. That's why she's in charge. Mm-hmm. And nobody can oppose her because she's in charge of the gold dragons. And as we see at the end of the film, she is not afraid to use them. So the bad guy, Jeremy Irons, wants to get a hold of the Rod of Savril because they control the red dragons, and the Empress decides they're both going for this new rod, basically, so that they can get control of the red dragons as well.
Okay, so you've said a lot in there that's accurate, yep. But you have not mm-hmm. mentioned the main character or the main party, characters.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember
how they get involved.
I forgot. Yeah, I'm like, how did they get on this quest for the rod? I don't
remember.
It's
completely random. Completely random.
Let's run through this, and through the power of our three brains. Oh my, there's your three brains. That's the power of our brains.
I can keep going.
Well, I was going to say, let's get to where, okay, so Ridley and snails, okay?
Yeah.
How do they get involved? Do you remember how it started?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
they're just looking for a new thing to rob, and they decide to rob the magic school.
Yeah, because of the lakes on fire, it's like Cleveland, Ohio out here. They go to rob the magic school, and that's where they get in with Marina. And so I get that in there. Then Marina, okay, what is the map? The map that she wants, what is the map?
Third random artifact, the map, which will lead you to the rod.
That's
for
what
some
it was?
Reason she has that.
Okay,
fuck. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Now, how did they explain how Ridley... like his dad was able to read it and he knew the words. Did they ever explain that?
No.
I don't remember.
Well, not that I can remember. He just starts chanting random stuff and then he disappears.
He says, my dad said it before. So as soon as he said that, I'm like, oh man, he's a fucking mage. Like he's the chosen one. He's a mage, which is a fucking Jedi in this world. Fucking Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay. What did someone ever at some point call him chosen or say that he was special? For some reason, I thought they did, but... Did you have a dream?
Not that I can remember.
No, I don't remember.
Okay.
God, there's so much of like the actual plot part where I'm like, yeah, I don't even know.
Well, because
there is a fourth artifact that we then need to get.
Hold up. Let me see if I
have
hold
the
up.
Map.
Let me see if I can remember it. Okay.
Okay.
We have the rod, the map. Oh, the maze. In other words, the fucking obstacle course, right? Wasn't there something at the end of the maze they needed?
The Eye of the Dragon, which is the big red ruby.
The red ruby.
Oh, that was the ruby that they... That was Snail's ruby?
Yes, that was the one that they find in the middle of the maze.
Okay. Yeah. Why did they... That wasn't a maze. It was fucking Legends of the Hidden Temple for adults.
It was, yeah.
It was quite funny because I know I messaged you guys asking if you're familiar with the Crystal Maze.
Yeah, and, I feel like that was a nod to it. Yeah,
it must have been because this is the Crystal Maze. Like, this is what Richard O'Brien is the guy who plays.
Oh, is that
I think
this
his name is
no-name actor?
Yeah, so Richard O'Brien was a TV host, and the Crystal Maze, let me just double check my dates, because I think the Crystal Maze was 1990 to 1993. He hosted the Crystal Maze, right? And he was awesome. He was so good on that show. And then... the whole premise of the show is that you have to go through these big rooms, which are puzzles or obstacle courses, and you have to get the crystal, and then you bring the crystal back, and in the end you have as many crystals as you can collect or whatever. And that is exactly what this was.
Yep.
So I don't know if they've done that to try and be like a little nod to his past.
Absolutely.
But...
it had to have been a nod to that. Yeah.
This, because I didn't know who this was, and I jokingly was trying to draw Lucy offside by saying in my notes, this no-name actor must be. But
he's a TV host to me. He's not an actor.
Okay.
That's
what I mean
I
is like you'll know,
but
you would have known like who it was. I obviously had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But if everyone would have played it like him too, he was having fun with the role. Like he was clearly having fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of again felt like he wasn't really in like a fantasy movie that he was kind of doing it. But I did see where he improvised one line about not oh fuck it was when he got through something about sweetheart or something in that sense, because the line that was written was just like sword and sorcery rubbish. And I was like, dude, is that what people thought? But that's, again, might be a problem with this movie. Is people looking at it and like, this is a terribly written movie. I'm kind of going to do my own thing because this director's nobody and we can just run ramshackle.
Yeah, he's like
it.
20 years old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think by the time this came out, he was like 24 or 25. Ooh. So he was, but it was the first thing he ever written. So I can kind of see where it's just like, yeah, we're going to get paid. We're going to do it. The movie's going to get made. They're not going to stop production on it to recast anybody. So they'll just kind of do whatever. But yes,
yeah.
I kind of shrugged and I'm like, oh, it's a little thing to get through. And then also getting through the obstacle course, he doesn't actually, like, he uses his wits, I guess, in that sense. At the end, when that thing is coming down, he just smashes this hourglass. Yeah. Was he supposed to do that? Or he was just like, fuck it, I'm just going to break something and hope it works.
Right question.
Because I literally put it back. I'm like, did I miss something? Did he see a clue? He's just like, well, yeah. I got nothing to do. I'm going to fuck this thing up. He breaks it and it stops. I'm like, that's not an obstacle course. That's not a maze. There's no trickery there or anything. He just smashed something and it worked.
And it was just him, right? It was just Ridley going through that. It was another example.
Oh, yeah, this
of
is another party. Yeah.
Yeah. No D&D party, just one guy.
Everyone else is just sat at the table like...
Yeah.
No, a woman and a black guy. No, they can't have anything. No. Don't steal the MC's thunder here.
Yeah. Gosh. I have something, actually.
Okay. Go for it.
The one thing that I was happy to see, again, related to D&D, was they had beholders in there.
Is that the big eyeball thing?
Yes!
Oh, I wondered what that was.
I, like, oh my gosh, an actual, that's like a D&D IP. Like, other, like, games like Pathfinder, which is very simple, like, you cannot use beholders because Dungeons & Dragons, or like, Wizards of the Coast owns Mind Flayers. And beholders are like official IP of Dungeons and Dragons. So like the fact that they had that, I was like, yes, like
because such a small like, cameo.
Yeah. I was like, there's because the, like the new movie doesn't have beholders. Even Baldur's Gate 3 doesn't have beholders. And they're like an iconic monster in Dungeons and Dragons. And I was like, hey, they're there in a camp with a bunch of people, which was kind of weird because they're monsters. But yeah.
Yeah. I had that in here. I was like, is that a beholder? And also, distracting throwing a rock, pure D&D.
Oh, I loved that bit. I was like, how are we going to get past here? Just yoink.
Yes. Just,
yeah, when in doubt, just throw a rock and everybody will go. I should say pure D&D. That's pure just RPG in general because that's every sneaking movie. It's Assassin's Creed. It's like Ghost of Tsushima. Yep. It's fucking Fallout. It's everything like that where when in doubt, throw a rock. And I would love to know if ever in the history of like crime or somebody doing something like that, has that it had to have been the history of the world? I'm sure it is. But could you imagine someone just like, and someone's by this door? Yeah, fuck it. Let me just throw a rock. And he throw it. What's that? And they walk over and like, am I in a movie? Am I? I'm the main character.
Above their head, like, yes. Huh?
Yeah, the drink. Like the yeah the Metal Gear Solid, hilarious. And then they go over there. Okay. All right, Lucy. Is there anything you got? Anything stands out that you're like, we got to talk about?
Not really. It was just like the last kind of scene where it's like the big dragon fight. I mean, it was just dreadful. It was so dreadful. And like, dragons, it looked bad. Everywhere. All of the dialogue between the characters who were fighting was so bad. It was like, it was written by an actual child. It's just like, oh, well, obviously Jeremy Irons was great fun. And he was like, I'm going to get a new destiny for you, boy. And he goes, not if I kill you first. I was like, okay, let's just know everything's very on the nose.
Yes, and this was preceded by, this is when Ridley was, I'm sorry, but I distract myself every time I say fucking Ridley because I think Alien. And it's just like, I don't think anybody should be called Ridley in a movie when doing that anymore because of Alien. But he goes into this tomb. And of course, this is where the dwarf and the two women, they can't go through because he's got to do it on his own here. And Minerva, by the end of the script, I kept calling her Minerva because I kept forgetting her name. And I've kind of forgot it again right now. It's just
Marina.
I might call her Minerva from now on. I don't know what the hell happened when I talk about it in this sense. But Marina is like, hey, be careful. I'm like, no. What? Is he going to fucking die? I'm like, script. you did that like 30 minutes before and it led to a death. You cannot do it again. He has to die now. You can't do it again.
Yeah. And then, yeah, obviously he doesn't die. So it was just a bit pointless.
It was so like, was I thought they're going to make like a joke out of it and like have him go, mm-hmm. oh shit. I said, no, there was no self-referential because this movie's too fucking dumb. But it spends like 4 or 5 minutes of him skulking around. By the way, talking more shit about mages. Like, good, this fucking mage up there dies. The skeleton talks to him.
Oh, God, yeah. What was that about?
The skeleton talks to him. He picks up this gold and is like, sorry, snails. And then they do this. It slows the movie. Slams the movie to a fucking halt. Not like this was speeding forward anyway. And then we zoom over to the fucking city, and like Lucy said, this dragon attack comes out of nowhere. There is no buildup, and Jeremy Irons is like, our dragons are coming to kill us. I'm like, is she gonna fucking go King's Landing and burn down the whole town? Is this like the evil mage side? How many fucking people are gonna die because she's attacking there? It's just out of nowhere this fucking climactic battle happens.
I was confused by this because we get the big moment where Marina tells Ridley, he gets the one of the several artifacts and she's like, use it on him. Get the red dragon to come and kill Provian. And he's like, no, I will not become you, and destroys the rod.
Yeah.
And then the Empress shows up and uses her rod to kill him anyway. So I was like, oh, so is she bad?
What did we learn here? Yeah.
Well, she has the dragon eat him.
Yes.
Right? Like the dragon was her. Like, yeah.
But 5 minutes ago, we learned a lesson that we shouldn't do that because that would make us just as bad as Provian.
Hey, that's the main character. Okay.
Yeah.
He got to be
Empress
good.
Empress can do it.
Empress can do whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it was such an anticlimactic, like, final fight, too. Like, just, like, him getting eaten by the dragon. I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's it. That was so not exciting.
Yeah.
What was kind of, it's kind of badass to me, was they launched these fucking, like, big dragon crossbow. Again, looking like fucking Smaug.
Oh, yeah, Smaug like Game of here. Thrones one.
Yeah, or I think of, like, Smaug when I think of that, when they launched that in. But yeah, that, like, big ballista, like Game of Thrones. It hits this one dragon. I'm like, oh, shit, okay, well, there's a dragon death. It falls down, and then the camera follows it, and I'm like, oh, is this the snail's dragon? Are we following it to their death just to make sure? It fucking gets impaled.
And
the blood starts coming out. I'm like, what? Did we miss something? Is this the evil? The dragons in their own story? Is this the Damador of there? Is this the bad one?
Yeah.
Brutal.
That was a very dramatic scene, like him getting the dragon getting impaled by a building.
Yeah.
Should
we have known who that dragon was?
Yeah.
The dragons really got disrespected in this film because the first one we saw got crushed by that door. What was the door that fell down and crushed him? I was like, whoa.
Again, this is going to be my last Star Wars reference. As soon as I saw that, it's like the fucking Rancor.
Yeah.
From Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that was a bad dragon too. But yeah, that was a hell of a start to it, to get into, I guess, him trying to control these dragons here. All right, one thing that I have on, we talked about how Marina was just standing around. In this final battle, when it is like the final battle, when it's Jeremy Irons and fucking Ridley, he knocks him to the ground, or it's after the thing was destroyed. And then one-on-one ninja style, the party comes out. He easily disposes of them. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, he didn't completely lock them up. He didn't put them down. They weren't like paralyzed. They go sit in the fucking corner, and then as the Empress comes up, by the way, Ridley, our hero's over there, just like on two knees, like getting his breath. The Empress comes up. They have their little showdown. He summons this fucking like demon skeleton or whatever. It starts attacking her, at which point nobody is doing anything.
Anything.
The party
it's
is
so
sitting,
frustrating.
They're just sitting down. Ridley's like, oh, my God, what can I do? And it's just movie. This is when you have to have something. You have to have people holding them back. You have to have rocks under them. Have him cast a fucking spell where it's just, oh, no, I can't move anymore. Something, because these motherfuckers are just sitting there.
It was so blatantly obvious. Like, the camera, the way, like, they could have at least maybe zoomed, removed them from the scene, removed them from the shot. But because they're in the shot, just they're sitting still in the corners.
The wide shot, you can see them.
Yes, we can all see. And we're like, do something. You're just sitting there. You're right. There's no obstacle in their way. They're not like passed out. They're just watching. And I remember that very specifically as well.
It was hard to watch because if I was the Empress, I'd be like, what the fuck? Help. Someone do something.
This is like the most like useless party of like, again, like I'm like, nobody did anything. Like, it's so frustrating.
I think we've spent enough words. Is there any final thoughts before we get on to classing them and giving our tier list ranking? Do we have any final things on there that y'all want to get, that you just have to get out? Because speak now or forever hold your peace, because this is
we're never talking about this again.
Again. Of course not. But in your life, I highly doubt you'll ever mention this movie again. So anything else?
There were dungeons. There were dragons. You know, they got that much.
They did.
I will say, like, the last thing, and I know we don't always like to compare movies and stuff like that. Like, but I couldn't help but think about Honor Among Thieves, Dungeons and Dragons, a 2022 movie that just came out in, you know, last year in 2023. Oh my gosh.
I was about
to
say, we're 2024.
We're in 2024 now. Oh my gosh. Honor Among Thieves was a summer, like, great, you know, 2023 summer movie, great fun. And there were a few things I thought, like, were interesting that they were kind of like, I don't know if they like did this to play on this movie or something, but like, again, the main character was a rogue type. Chris Pine plays like this rogue type, and like Ridley is also this kind of like roguish type. And I was like, oh, and they say like Honor Among Thieves a couple of times.
They did.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, like, I don't know if, like, again, years later, there's no correlation to these movies whatsoever, but I do wonder if like they couldn't help but have a subtle hint to like
this, a little nod towards the original.
And I think it's a great protagonist, like, stereotype, like, or like archetype, or whatever you want to call it, of like the rogue who's like not exactly your typical hero type, but becomes kind of more a hero type in the end. I don't necessarily hate that. So I was like, oh, okay, they had that in this movie also. Like, the 2000 version and the 2023 version have that similarity. And I thought that was kind of interesting, but other, like, yeah, they're not comparable.
Lucy, what did you think about Honor Among Thieves, the D&D movie?
I haven't seen it yet, but I've listened to your podcast.
Yes, I had it in my thing, but again, it shows just how terrible I am, or we are, doing all this stuff. Yes, Tracy, as I mentioned, was on before. Go back to the summer, and she was on. We talked about D&D, Honor Among Thieves. So, yeah, to get all of our thoughts on that movie, and I could say this to Lucy, too, because she hasn't listened to it yet. But yeah.
I did listen to it.
Oh, you did? Oh, but you hadn't seen the movie.
I did. I told you. Yeah, I listened to it when I was on a long bus journey in Canada. I listened to it, but I enjoyed the podcast. I just obviously hadn't watched the film yet.
Okay. But no, yes, we both enjoyed that movie. Very enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's going to get a sequel to it, but I do hope that somehow.
But somehow this one got two. But you know, we might not see for Honor Among Thieves.
I mean, it's straight to DVD. Like, does that really count? Okay. True. All right. Yeah. All right. So that is Dungeons and Dragons 2000. Okay. We're going to go around here, put them in the D&D classes, which is going to be a lot easy because it's fucking literally a movie about Dungeons and Dragons. And so, yeah, the first two kind of together, Ridley and Snails, they're rogues, they're thieves. Trickery all in that, which I guess you can use like a sword, because Ridley's pretty good handling that sword. I don't know how he got in there, so maybe he subclassed or multiclassed as a fighter in there or something. I don't know, he might have got something in there. So those two were pretty easy. And Tracy, for Marina, we had down as a wizard. Why do you think that?
I say she's a wizard. Again, they kept saying mage, but I think she's a wizard because wizards learn how to cast magic via books and tomes and things. As opposed to other spell casting classes, wizards are straight up learned. Like, you learn your spells, and she's a librarian. She's from she also needed components and stuff to cast. So to me, that would class her as a wizard because it's not innate. She wasn't born with it.
So, do you think she would have had the most like male character or male writing character description of a woman like this? Librarian, hot, but doesn't know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sadly, that is basically like the stuffy noble.
Yes.
Pulls her hair down, takes those glasses off. Oh my God.
Yep. No, and then the second half of the movie, she becomes hot. Yeah.
No, that was okay. This is the last thing I'll say about it because I forgot. When they get to the pub when they first get to the pub, she pulls out the map and really they're kind of bickering and fighting and really just like, fine, you're on your own. Doesn't she let her hair down and like look at the map and then him looking at her? I'm like, oh my fucking God, they just did a hair down. Is he just now realizing that she's fucking hot? I think they did that.
Yeah.
I think they did.
She knew what she was doing.
Yes. It's just like, bro, she didn't even have like glasses on and like was dirty. It's like, it's the same fucking woman. She's been hot the whole time. But like the hair comes down. It's like, oh, whoa. Hey now.
Whoa.
I think it's just an old time thing from the 19th century and before is when a woman puts her hair down. It's, oh shit, fellas. It's go time. All right. Lucy, we had Profion as a sorcerer.
So I can't remember if Profion was similar to Marina in that he needed to learn his magic or if he was magic. Because a sorcerer in the D&D classes here is a spellcaster who draws on inherent magic from a gift or bloodline. So that would imply to me that they're kind of born with those powers. I think one character we haven't mentioned at all is they bump into this elf healer who's played by, I think his name is Tom Baker, who was a doctor. He was Doctor Who, who's the fourth doctor. And he says, he kind of makes that difference between the elves and the mages. He's like, we know how to just do magic. It's in our blood. Whereas these mages have to learn how to do it. So I don't know if Profion would be a sorcerer then. Maybe he might be a wizard as well.
Yeah, it was unclear like if he had that innate magic spell casting or if he also like learned it. So I kind of change it up a bit, I would say like, yeah, maybe he is a sorcerer and you know she's more on like the wizard side, but it was not very clear.
I was gonna say, I know it's not canon and I'm sure it's incorrect, but I always see sorcerers as evil, like a sorcerer, because I think it might be from like Saruman in Lord of the Rings. I think they call him like a sorcerer. Like Gandalf's always a wizard, no one ever calls him a sorcerer. I always just think of it as typecast, is that pejorative? Are you evil? You're a sorcerer. Are you good? Oh, he's just a wizard. Yeah.
There's also warlock here, which is a wielder of magic that is derived from a bargain of some sort. So a bargain with an entity. Yeah. That sounds kind of evil. Maybe they're not evil, but a bargain with someone sounds kind of evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Generally, warlocks do have that stereotype as well, that they're more of the evil type because you make a pact with deal with the devil or something to get your magic. Yeah.
All right, so next one you had up here, Damador, which was interesting because at first I was just like, oh, he's just an apprentice. He's an apprentice mage in this sense, which he still might be, but he's wearing some armor, very elegant in that sense, always has a sword, kind of fights with it. So to kind of switch it up with this one too, we had him as a paladin because it feels like he's got that little bit of magic in there, some kind of oath breaking in there, I'm sure. I don't think what he's doing would in any way or would violate every single oath of whatever paladin it is. But yeah, some kind of oath breaking fallen paladin.
The armor is definitely what threw it off. Like, he's not just a spellcaster or something. He can, I would probably say paladin as well, because paladins can cast magic. They usually have a deity that helps them to do that, or, you know. It could even be his oath is to Jeremy Irons' character or something like that. I would go for paladin as well for that. Yeah.
Yeah, that worm in his head, that would kind of do it.
See,
and we went the whole episode without bringing up tentacle porn.
Yeah, the ear tentacles. Yeah.
You definitely said fetish.
I did.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you said it now, huh? All right. Elwood, Tracy, what do we have for Elwood?
Elwood we have as a fighter. He had an axe, which is like a lot of times like barbarian.
Dwarf too.
Yeah, dwarf barbarian is like a very common stereotype. But I think he was just acting more fighter-esque. Barbarians actually usually have very little armor. They don't wear a lot of armor. So I would classify Elwood more as a fighter.
All right. Lucy, did you get yelled at in a YouTube comment for wearing armor as a barbarian?
Oh my God.
Oh, I'm very
early in my Baldur's Gate 3 playthrough, right? And I'm trying to learn everything and there's so much to learn. And I just wanted a cute outfit, okay? Una was looking so basic in these rags and I found this nice, very basic, like emerald green leather outfit, and I was like, I'm gonna put her in that so she looks a little bit smarter. And everyone in my comments was like, oh, can you learn the rules of D&D?
Oh,
barbarians are not supposed to wear any armor. And I was just like, I just wanted to wear it because it was cute, sorry.
Also, I love that you named your Baldur's Gate character Una. She's from Una. Our game. Barbarian from our game.
Yes, I am very much stuck with that name now for all of my characters. I think me and Brett did a co-op campaign. I think she's called Marianne, but she's not a barbarian, actually. She's elf.
Wait, what was she's an elf? She's a barbarian?
Oh no, what was she? No, in the one that you and I did together.
Oh yeah, what was she? She was a bard.
She was elven something.
I don't remember. It wasn't barbarian?
I don't, maybe.
It might have been.
Maybe, I can't remember. Okay. Oh yeah, she'd be an elven barbarian, right?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I think that's what it was, yeah.
All right, Lucy, last one we have on here. Norda with the boob armor.
Yes,
plus Norda one boob armor.
Nobody would be mad at that armor ever. So we have her down as a ranger, which goes by a warrior who combats threats on the edges of civilization. So I guess that is her being an elven ranger, I think wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's what she's actually called in the film as
well. Yeah, they call her that. Yeah. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an easy one.
Yep.
Yeah. Pretty stereotypical there. The Elven Ranger. All right. Those are all the D&D classes. Last thing before we get to the outro, the tier list rankings. And Tracy gets to join us here where we go S, A, B, C, D in that order, top to bottom. Lucy, why don't you go ahead and enlighten us first on your tier rating.
Okay. I didn't really have that much fun watching this film. I really enjoy D&D now, so it's not like I'm just not in the whole universe of D&D. I do really enjoy it. I didn't think this was well made. I thought the CGI was bad. I thought the sets were bad. Thought the characters were pretty bad. Some of the actors were great, but I felt like they needed more from the script, and it was just overall kind of meh. I wouldn't watch it again to make fun of it. It wasn't that kind of bad movie that's fun to make fun of. So unfortunately, it's a D.
D for me. D for don't watch. All right.
Yeah.
Tracy, what you got?
I hate to say it, I have very similar sentiments to Lucy. Not even Jeremy Irons could save the pain that was watching this. And again, there are some good campy movies that you can go back and watch. I watch the old 90s Batman movies for fun because they're cheesy, but there's something about them that's just fun to go back and watch every once in a while. This movie, I don't see myself going back and watching. If there was something redeemable about the Dungeons and Dragons part, I maybe would. But even then, like, it was not, it did not get, it had no like lore stuff to D&D. There was just nothing that could make me want to go back and watch it. So I also give it a D.
Okay. Well, you took the words right out of my mouth there about the D&D-ness of it. If there was more of that you could go back and have some drinks and make fun of it with somebody, especially maybe someone else who was into D&D, then you could get something out of those references or the viewings or anything like that. This is just a dreadful fantasy movie. It's pretty much a 90s fantasy movie. I know it's 2000, but it's pretty much a dreadful 90s fantasy movie. To me, Marlon Wayans couldn't even save it, even for me. But the fact that they killed him knocked it back down to anything. of a C in that, even if they were going to revive him for the sequel, which I kind of want to maybe see that now to see where they go with it. Not really, though. An alternate universe, this movie made $130 million, and they did that somehow in a psychotic universe with the populated by a bunch of Erics out there to watch it over and over again. I could not in any way recommend this to anybody, even if they like fantasy. It's not even a fun bad watch. I would say mission accomplished. It's two episodes now on the main feed that we have both, that everybody has D on it. And when including the Catwoman, it's all D's. We have a banner month so far for Bad Movie Request Month. All right. So if you want to get more of us on the path, email us podonthepath@gmail.com, patreon.com/onthepath. Catwoman is the Bad Movie of the Month. A bunch of other stuff in there. Check that out. Our Discord link is below. Good place to chat with us, the community, as well as get the reasonings here of why people chose this. And a lot of our, insight, stuff like that we don't put out, social media, stuff like that, as well as all of the social links below. Tracy, thanks again for joining us.
Yay! Unfortunately,
the first movie we talked about was a little bit better, but it was fun to talk about this again with you. Thanks a lot.
Yes. You both make it much more bearable to talk about. It makes it much more fun when we get to just talk about it afterward. So thank you both for having me on. And I always enjoy these kinds of discussions with you both.
All right. Where can we find you?
Oh, yes. So you can find me everywhere. Twitter.com/miss_magitech, or you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/magiRPG, youtube.com/magiRPG. That is where I'm playing all of my campaigns. So if you want to watch, I currently am going through, if you're into vampires and Vampire the Masquerade, that's my big thing right now. I've been running a lot of that. And of course, Cyberpunk, Dungeons and Dragons, Blades in the Dark, all of the awesome TTRPGs, you can find it all there.
All right. Yes, make sure y'all check out all those links below, and we will await our invitation. I will clear my calendar out to do it.
Yes.
To get on it. All right. Lucy, where can we find you?
You'll find me at Lucy J. Robin on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube. I actually think I might go and play some Baldur's Gate 3 right now.
I'm just
in the mood for it now. I want to get back into it. So yeah, you'll find me there most of the time.
All right. You can find me mainly on Discord. Next week, Bad Movie Listener Request Month rolls on with a movie that apparently was so bad it caused COVID, because we were talking about 2019's Cats.
Oh, God.
Dreading it.
Good luck.
It'll be a first-time viewing for us. So, yeah, until next week when we somehow have to absorb CGI singing cats, we'll see y'all.
We'll see you.
Goodbye.